Hello and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. My name is Tori Hornsby, EV Bids co-founder and Tesla Tips and Tricks administrator. And today I'm going to cover our weekend review, including the top five posts from our T3 Facebook group, and we'll reveal some compelling insights from our members. For those who may be unfamiliar, the Tesla Tips and Tricks community is the largest Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group in the world. We currently have just about 278,000 members, and we are dedicated to providing guidance, insights, and real-world practical advice for current and prospective Tesla owners. We work hard to fight spammers, to remove inappropriate content, and ensure a polite and courteous and fun community for Tesla enthusiasts. I do want to add that if you are looking to sell your Tesla, or if you're in the market to buy a pre-loved one, be sure to visit www.teslatipsandtricks.com and check out T3 Auctions. It is the best, most fun, most exciting way to buy or sell a Tesla, and you can avoid all of those marketplace hassles that you deal with on both sides of the coin. And as we jump into the top five posts here, please click like and subscribe. It really helps to keep good Tesla Tips and Tricks content coming your way. So I'm going to jump in here. Let's share my screen. And we'll take it away with our first post, which is from Vikas. Vikas says, batteries have limited lifetime charge cycles, but Tesla says to always be connected, ABC, to a charger. Before we jump into the comments here, I do want to clear something up in the question that's a little misleading. So the batteries actually don't have a limited number of charge cycles. In fact, let's jump in and take a look at the warranty, and then we'll come back and we'll see what the comments say. So the battery warranty for each vehicle is listed here. You can see for an S, X, or a Cybertruck, it's 8 years or 150,000 miles, whichever comes first, with a minimum 70% retention battery capacity over the warranty period. So within 8 years or 150,000 miles for a Model S, Model X, or a Cybertruck, if the capacity of the battery reaches less than 69% at full charge or less than 70%, then Tesla will replace that battery free of charge. For the Model 3 and Y rear-wheel drive, it's 8 years, 100,000 miles. And then for all the other models, it's 8 years and 120,000 miles, and all of them are at that 70% retention battery capacity. So then what does Vikas mean about these charge cycles? Well, Tesla has reported, and Elon has talked about, how a battery is worth 1,500 charge cycles at least, should get 1,500 charge cycles. And what a charge cycle is it's the battery charging from 0 to 100%. That's one cycle of charge. So now as we get into the comments, I think that it'll make a little bit more sense as people are answering the questions here. So coming down here, first comment here, I see Dustin says, your battery will outlast your car. And as we keep going down, it says ABC, which is always be charging, really should probably or better be referenced as always be connected. Because when you just because you've got the car plugged in doesn't mean that it's charging. It's connected. And Adelina says, keeping your Tesla plugged helps prevent the battery health by maintaining a consistent charge level, maintaining optimal battery temperature while preventing unnecessary battery drain from features like climate control, etc. And as we go down here, Anthony kind of nails this and says a cycle is a complete 100% to 0% back to 100%. That's one cycle. So if you charge from 60% to 80%, it would take five charges to equal one cycle. So just being plugged in doesn't affect the charging cycle by much, maybe 1% to 3% of the course of a week. And that's 1% to 3% of one cycle of the 1500 charge cycles, which, by the way, depending on how many miles you get out of your battery at full charge, that equates to somewhere between 300,000 to 500,000 miles. So Justin says it again, plugging in your car is not considered one charge cycle. Charging the full capacity of your battery is a charge cycle. So if you charge at 20%, it would take five of those to be the equivalent of one charge cycle. So it's a good question here. and wanted to clear that up. Thought that was a good one for us to cover out of the gate, number one or number five as we go down. So the number four post that we're going to take a look at here is from Ellen. And Ellen says, curious, who is putting in an order for the new Model Y launch series? Why or why not? So the first comment here, Dennis says, nope, waiting on a non-launch as I don't need FSD or acceleration boost and would rather have a performance version. We're going to see that's a consistent theme is that people are wanting a performance model. The launch version does include badging. It includes full self-drive. It includes acceleration boost. So there's several things that it includes that do cost money as upgrades. That's why it's more expensive. But a lot of folks are saying, yeah, I don't necessarily care about having FSD bought outright. I'd rather get a performance model. So coming down here, Michael, again, waiting on a performance. And Joe says, I have too many Teslas, so it's a no for me. EM says, I replaced my 2021 with the 2024 last spring intentionally to avoid the refresh. Not a fan of the stalkless. There are a lot of comments on the stalkless where the blinkers are on the steering wheel and you can flash the lights on the steering wheel. Everything is there, but there are some complaints on the stalkless steering because as you're turning the car in a roundabout or something like that, you can't access the blinkers. So I can see where that takes a second to get used to. Having driven one, my current one does have a stalk, but having driven and spending some time in a stalkless, it takes a second to get used to. But after hundreds of miles, a few hundred miles, it just becomes a little bit second nature. At least for me, I just got used to it very quick. Coming down, we've got Dan who says, it's a hard pass. I'll buy the new Y once the normal models are released. And just coming down here a little bit more, Mako says, I did ASAP. It's my third Tesla. My first two have been flawless. I want FSD. I'm 73 and a half. The more refined ride and ventilated front seats are good for him. And then last year, Franz said, nope, not for me. I got mine last year at 1.99 and I'm going to keep it, the Model Y, until the Cybertruck has the tax rebate and a similar APR. Then I'll trade. So you can see some different feelings across the board there on who's going to get a Model Y launch series or why they're not going to get one. So moving down to the number three post of the week, we've got a good one from Cha-Cha. And what Cha-Cha says is that the main reason that they purchased a Tesla was the convenience of charging at home, saving trip to the gas station, mechanic shop for oil changes. All this works. He's good with that. But he does mention that there's a higher cost of changing tires, which, by the way, depending on your model, is what could potentially be important, especially if you're wearing through tires a lot, to get those adjustable camber arms, adjustable control arms. We recommend the Intuitive brand, Intuitive. So Intuitive. But what his biggest complaint here is, he says what ticked him off today was that when he went to register it, he was asked to pay an additional $140 to get a yearly sticker that all electric cars must display on their windshield. He asked what for, and they said it's because you're not purchasing gas, so you're not paying taxes, and the state wants to recover on those taxes by making you pay for this sticker. And that is actually true for pretty much every state. Maybe not every state, but I think pretty much every state does have this. In Georgia, we don't have to put a sticker, but instead of just the normal $20 a year, it might be a little over $100 a year. But the reason for that is, as they said, gas taxes are collected on every single gallon of gas that you buy. And it can be 35 to 55 cents, just depending upon the states. I think it might be even be higher in some states out west per gallon. So it's a lot of money that you're paying. And those dollars go to repair roads. It goes to the Department of Transportation to keep our roads paved and in good repair and to replace bridges. Because you're essentially with an electric vehicle, you're not paying that, but yet you're still causing wear and using the roads. So they're going to recover that. So it makes sense to me. I hate that they charge that, but it's just one of those. It is what it is. But the comments below is that the beauty is that flat fee is not, is doesn't matter how much you drive, you're paying the same amount. And he says, you just have to look at the bright side of each situation. Doug says, like I mentioned, you're paying for the roads that you use. And then, you know, somebody is mentioning here too, it's not a Tesla issue. Take that up with your state. And just going down some more, my state charges the same with ICE vehicles. It's $60. Maybe they don't have a gas tax in that state. I'm not real sure where Paul is from, but it is interesting that it's the same for all vehicles. And, you know, Alabama's 200 and Texas 200. And Stan says, like I mentioned, you ever see how much gas taxes are? I'd rather pay a $140 flat fee than to be taxed an additional EV use tax on electricity consumed. So he's saying instead of per gallon of gas, what if they charged us extra per kilowatt hour we charged the car? That would be crazy. So he'd rather pay the flat fee. So it's all in how you look at it, but it does make sense. I know here in Georgia, and we're not up north, and so the roads down here in the south tend to stay a little smoother, a little longer, because we don't have the ice and the coldness and the salt on the roads as much to deteriorate the asphalt and concrete. But down here, the roads stay in pretty good repair in Georgia. And it's not perfect. There are potholes. There are issues sometimes. But that's one of those. If I'm not paying it, I'm using the roads. I still have the wear on the roads. I'm not paying it on a gas tax. It makes sense that I would pay that at a yearly tax when I register my car. At least that's my feeling. So moving on to the number two post here. This is by Jeff. And he says, here's a good one. What does everyone call the gas pedal now? And there's a lot of funny comments here. And I'm sharing this one just in a little bit of light humor, because that's something you don't think about. You call it the gas pedal. But it really, in the manuals, is called an accelerator pedal. But Dave says, it's still the gas pedal to me. But my brother calls me out on it every time. He said, I'm trying to switch to use the term throttle, although accelerator is what they say in the manual. And moving down here, throttle also relates to the workings of an internal combustion engine. So it's not even a throttle pedal at that point. Alex says, it's just a pedal, accelerator pedal. I like Johnny said, it's the go pedal. Ray says, it's the skinny pedal. That's funny. Chad calls it a footrest. Dan says it's the zoomies plank. Bob says the accelerator. Frederick, the go button. Accelerator. I like this one. The accelerator, I thought that was a good one, because, on a Tesla with the regen braking, when you let off the accelerator pedal, it does brake. So the accelerator, I think, wins it for me. But we got hyper pedal. We've got the eat my dust pedal. Let me see. There was one more I wanted to cover here. Oh, the go-go juice, the exhilarator, acceleratrix. So there's just a couple of fun ones here. Wanted to cover that because it did get a lot of engagement. This one has 441 comments. So I thought that was great. Wanted to share some good humor and some fun with that one. And so moving on down here to the number one post of the week by Robin. She says, advice needed, newly installed by professional electrician. This worked for 32 minutes and then blew the fuse. I reset the fuse, but nothing. Called the electrician back, but nothing. This unit has power, which was confirmed by the electrician, but no lights show from the unit. No answers from Tesla. What can I do? For those who are listening, this is showing a wall charger. It's a Tesla wall charger. And she's got a picture of it hanging on the wall, with an electrician showing the right voltage coming in. And when I looked at the, my first thought here was that the wire gauge was too small. So I have, my plug is powered by where I used to have 240 ran to a water heater, and it is a 30 amp fuse. So the very first time I plugged in my Tesla into this plug, it blew the fuse because it was trying to pull 50 amps or more. And so on your Tesla app, one cool thing, if you're ever having this problem of blowing fuses, what you want to do is, and I'll show this, I'll try to show this on the camera here, but for those of you who are not watching, is on the charging section of your car, you can actually control how much you want it to charge. And so let's see the charge stats here. I'm pulling it up on my app here. Well, actually, I just got home not too long ago. I may not have this plugged in. I got to go double check because I'm not seeing the charge slider. But normally when I've got my Tesla plugged in and it's charging, there's a slider at the bottom. And you can do this in the Tesla as well, where you can control the amps. You can set the amps. And so the magic number for people is 29 or 30 amps. That doesn't overheat your normal 240 volt circuit. So my 30 amp circuit that was plugged in for my water heater, I just slide it. I've got mine set to 30 amps. It's not blowing the fuse again. But the amp restriction is actually based on the gauge of the wire, the size of the wire. So if you have a smaller wire, then if you try to run a lot of amps through it, it'll actually get hot, even red hot. It can be hazardous and start a fire. That's why you have a breaker to stop that from happening. When it gets hot, it pops too. When it senses too many amps going through it, pop, it breaks the breaker. So in this case, there is the right size gauge wire, from what I can tell, just looking at the picture. And then somebody posted this. I'll pull up more comments here. This screen here, and for those who are just listening to this on our podcast audio, I'll explain it to you. If you come in from the top, what the electrician did in their install is they came from the top and went directly down to the to where the wires screw in. And when you look at the instruction manual, it recommends routing the wires around the side and coming in from the bottom to avoid overheating. So you loop it around the side. If you come in from the bottom, then you would loop it around the side and go in from the top. And this is to ensure that there's less heat. So it looks like that wasn't followed on this install, and that might be why they're having the problem, because they will, once they're starting to get hot, it will stop working or blow the fuse. So a little tip there. That was the best tip on this. So just follow the recommended install. But that prevents wire overheat, which is what Hoy Shum said here. Kurt mentions it could be a bad charger. Sergey says most likely a faulty wall connector, but the wiring is wrong. So you just get the electrician out and get them to take a look at it. Don't play with this if you aren't knowledgeable on electricity. 240 is nothing to play with that can hurt you. And get the electrician out. But in the meantime, charge at 30 amps. So you're going to, at 30 amps instead of 40 or 50, you're going to get, you know, 30 plus miles per hour of charging instead of 40 or 44 or 45, I think that you can get while you're plugged in at the full amperage. When you limit it to 30, you're still getting over 30 miles, at least I do, over 30 miles of charge of range per hour that I'm charged in. So, you know, in 5 hours, I've added more than 150 miles of range. So no big deal there. So that's it for our tips and tricks here. And again, I do want to invite you guys to visit www.teslatipsandtricks.com and check out T3 Auctions if you're in the market to buy or you're in the market to sell. If you're in the market to sell, we do have a free appraisal estimation tool. But if you fill that out, it'll give you a range of what your Tesla might be worth, and then we'll call you to tell you what the details are. But we go to work. We make it fun and exciting for both sides, the buyer and the seller. To list your car as a seller, there's no cost. You list it, and then we are going to advertise nationwide to Tesla enthusiasts to find a buyer. And again, make it that fun experience. We'll help you with the paperwork. We help set up door-to-door shipping, or excuse me, driveway-to-driveway shipping. And we are also going to ensure full transparency and that it's a safe and secure transaction. We got great photos, walk-around videos, so that there's full transparency on what you're getting. The buyer and the seller can communicate. Anybody who is on a T3 auction page can ask questions and communicate and join the fun. Even if you're not bidding, you can still comment and join the fun. So that's it for today. Thanks for joining this podcast. Again, my name is Tori Hornsby with Tesla Tips and Tricks, and we'll see you next time.